The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
But I want to come back to something I mentioned right at the start of the show, which are these figures we have obtained here on the Hard Shoulder from the HSE. So there were last year 513,000 hospital outpatient appointment no-shows. So almost 10,000 no-shows every single week of 2023. Here to discuss the impact of same and explain maybe why this is happening and what could be done about it, Matthew Sadlier, consultant psychiatrist, chair of the IMO's Consultants Committee, and Professor Martin Curley, a former HSE Director of Digital Transformation. Gentlemen, you're both very, very welcome. Matthew, I think people listening at home would be struck by just how phenomenally large that number sounds, 10,000 a week nearly.
Well, it is. And now it has to be taken in the context that there's 3.5 million appointments every year. So, you know, it's about 1 in 7. So about 14% of appointments, which is still, it doesn't sound maybe as dramatic as 500,000, but it's still a significant
40%
number.
40% is still a lot.
Oh, it is still a lot. And, you know, as somebody who works in the service, it does lead to wasted, you know, resources. And it is something that we do need to tackle. And it's something that the service has needed to tackle for a very long period of time. Now, reasons why patients don't attend appointments or appointments gets cancelled can be very complicated, and they can go from certain cases where patients who might be on certain treatments that need blood testing or something aren't ready for their treatment at the time and may have their appointment cancelled for those reasons. Or it may be a patient factor, or it may be a service factor. But what we need to do as a service is try to improve our service factor. Mm. We need to, knowing that I was coming on today, I did a bit of a quick survey of people in our organisation as to how many people worked in a service that had a paper-based system and how many worked in a computer-based appointment system.
Yeah.
And it's about 50-50 in the responses I got back.
Okay.
So too much of our health service still relies on, and the service I worked in for a long time relied on, you know, when somebody finishes your outpatient clinic, you have to write their name down in a diary for their next appointment, for them to be logged for the next appointment. Now, with the best will in the world and the most dedicated staff, you'll always have that moment where you're about to write it down, you get a phone call, you get a bleep, somebody comes back in the door just to ask another question, the name doesn't get written down in a diary, and you have no way of auditing that without actually a very time-consuming audit that we used to take 2 days a year, where we'd have to shut the outpatients altogether to go through all the paper charts, to go through all the paper records, to audit to see who we had missed from the service, which if you had an electronic-based appointment system, you know, you could do in two clicks of a button.
Yeah.
And to make sure that patients, you know, who attend today have an appointment for attending in the future. And also things like, you know, you go to your gym, you go to your dentist, you go to your hairdressers. And I suppose most people out there listening to this today will be fully familiar with getting a text reminder, you know, you have an appointment in 3 days if you don't want to turn up or you can't turn up.
Well, yeah, I mentioned one earlier I got from the vet to say that the dog is due worming and flea tablets, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, but we don't have the facility in a lot of now, it's some places do it. And
yeah,
it would be unfair to say that it's completely absent from the service, but a lot of places don't do it.
And Martin Curley is with us as well. We'll speak to that and maybe attempts to deal with that issue and kind of introduce this digital transformation. What's the impact on ye as clinicians, no-shows?
Well, it's one of two impacts. Either A, it's a waste of time and resources where we're sitting there, you know, where we could be seeing a patient and we're not seeing a patient, okay? Mm-hmm. Or two, it ends up with services where you end up overbooking clinics, in the hope that people won't show up. And then if they do
like
all show up,
invite 200 people to your wedding and 170 will say yes. Is that
basically
the idea?
Yeah, that's sort of an idea. And then if they don't, but then on the odd day that everybody does show up, and I suppose the other problem is that, you know, the DNAs are unpredictable. If you could say to me in the morning that 14% of every patient, you know, 14% of every clinic.
Every day, yeah.
Yeah, that is, but it's unpredictable. So, you know, so, and I think we have to.
Do you see trends in the DNAs? Days of the week that are...
I've never looked at it. Maybe I might. And sorry, obviously, you'll have some of those DNAs. We'll also have days like we had a few weeks ago where we had bad snow one morning, or you've particularly bad weather events, you know, storm Ophelia or whatever it is. You know, so they will also be probably buried in that data as well.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, you know, slightly different issues, I suppose. But I suppose what we need to do is move to a system where we have the capacity to be able to offer patients appointments, where we have the capacity and the electronic ability to be able to track patients who don't turn up, so we don't end up with this horrible situation where patients get what we would call lost to follow-up, where for some reason they've disappeared off a chart because we don't have the information technology to deal with it. And also we have to have the system where we have sufficient capacity in our hospitals that we don't have to cancel out patients' lists because we have 100 trolleys in the emergency department, or, you know, we've had to turn our outpatients department into an additional ward.
Listen, stay with us, Matthew. I mentioned Professor Martin Curley, former HC Director of Digital Transformation, who joins us too. Martin, to what degree is that lack of digital tools, the availability of digital tools, is that a problem here?
Yeah, thanks, Kieran. I think it's a big part of the issue, but maybe just to, you know, the problem is quite big. If you look at the UK is far more digitised, and our DNA rate is more than twice that of the UK. As Matthew said, you know, it's close to, you know, it's, you know, over 500K. But every time somebody misses an appointment, you know, it impacts the whole service. And if you look at our waiting lists, your annual waiting lists, they are 500, 600K. But last year, there was a waiting list action plan. It spent 440 million euros in achieving an improvement, and the reduction was only 2.7%. So that's a lot of money to get a very small improvement. But there's, you know, so many reports that prove even just simple text reminder systems can reduce, you know, DNAs anything from 30% to 80%. So if we were to take just a tiny fraction, and Matthew mentioned this informal survey, you know, half of the colleagues we work with are using paper and half on digital. If we could just shift to digital, this could make a big dent. But this is a symptom, actually. If you look at Ireland as a digitally literate and advanced country, we're actually quite good. We're fifth on the EU DESI ranking, which is the Digital Economy and Society Index. But in terms of digital health, we are absolutely the laggard. We are at 0 points on a scale. There's a new e-health composite indicator that was developed by Empirica for the European Commission. We're last on that. We're last on the OECD list of digital health and maturity. And that directly translates into a hugely unproductive system. I have to commend the Department of Health. Last week, they produced a new report on health productivity. And, you know, I don't know if your listeners have heard about it, but it's great. And, you know, there's an innovation here that the Department of Health has introduced a way of measuring, you know, aggregate composite activity. But if you just listen to the figures between 2016 and last year, we added 9 billion in spending. We added 50,000 employees. And we just had a 3.6% improvement in aggregate output. And digital is the answer. If we send a text message rather than sending a letter, it's 30x cheaper. But we know we can reduce DNAs by 30-50%. Yeah. That's a really simple example.
Yeah, and listen, I'm sure there's people listening along kind of nodding away to everything you say, Martin, and people will have had, you know, experiences like my own. I mentioned getting a text about the dogs, so maybe I shouldn't admit this on the radio, a text from the gym to say, we haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been? Are you sick or injured or something? But I mean, is that an unfair comparison, kind of, you know, the local vets compared to the kind of the beast that is the HSC? Like, what was your experience of trying to implement digital transformation in an organisation that size?
I don't think it's an unfair comparison. Like, our horses actually have better digital health records. So, you know, there is a cultural resistance. There are a lot of digital savvy clinicians that are adopting this technology and want this technology, but there has been an inability for the HSC to actually you know, deliver digital. So,
and what sorry to cut across your mind, what does that mean, like cultural resistance? Because, you know, behind culture, there's people. There must be people who just don't want it. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I think, you know, and I have talked before about this, but there are blockers in the system that aren't allowing the progress. And I think we're so far behind, this creates an opportunity for a leapfrog. And I've been working with the Irish Hospital Consultants Association on their, you know, Care Card Wait campaign. We have the opportunity to give everybody in Ireland a personal electronic health record on their phone for the price of one or two cups of coffee a year. But I think the HSE are very good at giving care and there's amazing clinicians, but have demonstrated over 20 years an inability to actually deliver anything digital. And it's government policy since 2013 that we should have a separate digital health agency. And this is what I think we should do. Leaders like Austria and Denmark and Australia, these are organizations, national organizations that are responsible for delivering, you know, electronic health records and digital systems. But again, to be positive, there's such an opportunity to leapfrog. It's really embarrassing where Ireland is currently in terms of our electronic health record maturity. But we actually could leapfrog, and it just takes, you know, a little bit of leadership. We need to have the capability, but the will. And it's primarily a political decision. We have to say, let's just do this. And it, you know, it is not difficult. It's paint by numbers.
John is after texting in to say his sister's a physio in a busy public outpatient department and might have 50% no-show days on occasion. Dec says if people are waiting long enough, they might improve, get better or forget in the meantime. And this sister says, I was attending the dermatology clinic in the Mater a number of years ago. I was referred to ophthalmology from there. They sent me an appointment card in the post. It was for 18 months later and I didn't get a single reminder or any under correspondence in the meantime. You could see why some people would forget. Matthew, the 50% of your members who responded to your kind of very quick poll, who are working in a paper-based system. I mean, it, you know, in an ideal world, there would be a paper-based reminder going out maybe 3 weeks before the appointment and again a week before. That's probably unrealistic in terms of manpower. I mean, it sounds like the way you describe it, the way Martin describes it, and even just applying common sense, it's a digital system is the only way that works, is it?
Well, there's three things I'd like to say. First of all, it has to be said that your numbers are only based on the hospital system. You also have the community healthcare organisation, so it'd be interesting to see what the rate of non-attendance or what the inefficiencies is in the community system as well. The next question I would say is that the problem is if you look compared to general practice, you know, which is run by independent contractors, they've largely digitalized, you know, where you've got smaller operations. Some general practice surgeries are quite large, as we all know. But they've, and I'd say, I'm sure your listeners can text in and say whether or not they get a reminder from their GP if they have a practice, if they have an appointment coming up in their GP. And GPs have moved way beyond the hospital system in regards to digitalization. And is that because they are smaller operators who don't have the same bureaucracy to work through, is the question. I know there's a couple of legal barriers as well around confidentiality, and there's always been a fear about our confidentiality legislation and risks that might be there with electronic patient records, especially if you look at things like the cyber hack that happened in, I'm going to say 2001, but somewhere in that year. And the other issue, and one of your texters there as well, I mean, the sad thing is that it has happened often, is that people are on the waiting list so long that we are sending letters out to people who have deceased.
Well, we have a letter actually. Our Maya has got in touch to say she had a possible appointment for her dad who had passed away. We called to cancel it knowing it was taking an appointment away from someone else, but I can understand why others don't, because we were fairly ticked off. The HSE is working from the dark ages of computing and communication, too much money going into paper pushing and inefficient admin procedures rather than joined up thinking in actual healthcare. That's from Mia anyway. Listen, those figures, they'd be interesting to get, as you say, in the community healthcare side of the house. You know, it's difficult to get kind of figures across the board when it comes to general practice. You'd have to do it on foot of just a survey of GP surgeries because they're obviously operating as independent entities. But nevertheless, maybe such a survey could be carried out. In the meantime, Matthew, listen, thanks a million for joining us. Matthew Sadlier, consultant psychiatrist, chair of the IMO's Consultants Committee, and Professor Martin Curley, former HSE Director of Digital Transformation.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.